Blog Talk Radio.
Your blessing over this nation and this world, oh God.
There's so much going on, Father, but we know that you are in charge, oh God, and in control, oh God. So we ask you continue to strengthen us and keep us, God. Give us the place where we need to be, Father. God, I ask also for the body of Christ today, oh God, that we be revived, oh God, that we be renewed, oh God, that we would pray, I pray for growth in the body of Christ, that we can go out and fulfill the Great Commission, to be salt and light, to serve with love, oh God, to show our love for you and our obedience to you by how we serve each other and how we serve the culture and the people and the lost, oh God. And with all that we do, God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will touch the hearts of people, that they too may spend eternity with you. And Father, we pray that all that we do is in your will, that we may stand before you and in here, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, brothers, we're going to be here a few minutes with you, and we're going to talk about something that we talked about it before. I know it's a topic we talked about before, but in the new year, like I said, you know, sometimes we have to look back, and sometimes we have to look back to move forward. We have to look back to move forward. So we have to examine who we are and where we are. Whenever you listen to it, I'm recording this at night. That's why I keep saying that. But anyway, we're going to talk about the relationship and ritual and how we can drift sometime. And we have to stay focused. And we have to see where we are. You know, because I was recently in the Bible study a couple weeks ago. And in the discussion, it talked about folk in their faith, and they were feeling I forgot the word now. I just had it on the tip of my tongue, but they was feeling stagnant, I guess, and not sure, and not knowing what they should do. It was something else. I was trying to think what it was, but Deacon Anthony, I think you were there. You remember? Because I remember we talked about this before. If folk were feeling lackadaisical, or I'm trying to remember the word. That was you.
Yeah, just weary. They were a little weary.
Weary. Okay, weary in what they were doing, and it became all a habit, and it seemed like they're losing their joy. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to start off with, I'm going to read you something, Brian, and I'm going to come and tell me, you can share what you're thinking about this and what is it brings into your remembrance. Because we got to remember, as the believer, as the church, as true Christians, as the believers in Jesus Christ, this walk, this Christianity that we're part of, and what it is, and what it has to be, and what we have to understand it to be, is an intimate, growing relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Because our relationship is with Christ, and believing that we believe who he says he was, we believe that why he was born, the life he lived in the Gospels, why he died, and that he rose again on the third day, and why these things were, and believe why these things were, and know why, and in our relationship as we grow into the understanding of who he was and who he wants us to do, that's how we are building a personal relationship with him, because because our faith and our hope is in Jesus Christ, and it's not the doctrines of the church. That, you know, there's doctrines, there's a reason for doctrines. We can talk a little bit about that. And it's not all the habits that become, sometimes our Christian life becomes just habits. It's we do things because we always do things. And then the third part is about sin. We think we just don't sin. We walk around and we don't want to step on no landmines, and we're looking at everything in our life to make sure this is not sin, that is not sin. But what we are called to do is live obedient lives to God and his commandments and to his word. And the way that we're going to do that in growing in our relationship with Christ is through his word, through worship, through prayer. And we're going to touch on some other things that we're going to encourage you in this new year, that we will be able to help us to grow and make sure that we're not doing what we're doing just because that's the way we do it. And we think that's enough of what God wants out of us. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, you know, a lot of things come to mind when I think about that. One of them being everything has to be love-driven. And I think that's things that get us out of ritual and put us into relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of the times we would do things ritually because it looks good, like you was talking about different works and things like that. It puts on a mask of what you're trying to be. But you're doing those things without love for Jesus Christ. So it really falls as actually, you know, on deaf ears, or where God actually looks upon it. You can do all the commandments you want, but if you don't love him, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. A lot of times when I hear ritual and relationship, I kind of think about, like you said, you examine yourself. And think of the relationships that you built with people, such as your wife, as a covenant. You know, I love my wife. So the things I do, I don't find myself trying to do them just because, you know, I want to show her, you know, that I'm the man and I'm the best man out there for her, which she probably already knows that. But anyway.
okay, here we go.
It's not a thing where, you know, I'm trying to show her that, you know, to put on this mask, and then as soon as you make me upset, now I show you truly who I am. And I think a lot of times that we don't really reflect on the things that we do a lot of times is because maybe we truly need to examine to see if we love God. Because love will compel you to do things. And love is a sacrifice. You know, it's not about, you know, you at that point. When you really truly love somebody and you appreciate who they are and what they've done for you, you change because you love them. It's not you change just so you can show them that you're worthy of the love that they give to you. And I think, you know, actively, there's a lot of believers that actually go just to church and do things, you know, that they think that they should be doing. And they actually miss the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then they don't see the Holy Spirit being manifested in their life in the things that they do daily. If you don't communicate with your spouse, how much of a relationship are you going to have with her if you really don't know her? You know, so when I think about ritually, I ritually go to work, you know, daily. But I could get another job. I mean, I don't have any connection to the job, you know. And I may say, oh, well, I love your job. You know, there is no, you know, I just do my job. And it's just something I do. It's like going to church. It's just something we do. But we got to get past that surface, and we really got to dig deep to see where our relationship is with Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, when we give our life to him, what we're saying is that we're giving our life and our will up for his will. So what does that really look like? Well, if I don't talk to my wife for a week, man, forget a week. If I don't talk to her for one day, she's going to think something's wrong. And if I don't allow her to talk to me, she's going to think something's wrong. Well, what if we go for a week? Now we got a problem in our relationship. And then, you know, that's how it is with, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. But they don't really realize saying, okay, you're a Christian. The meaning of Christian is to follow Jesus Christ. So what have you followed about him? And are you still following? You know, so we have to get past the surface and saying, all right, well, you know, got to kind of dig deep a little bit and examine ourselves and say, well, man, yeah, I've been going to church for years, but I don't see any changes or manifestations of the Holy Spirit in my life to where I've overcome. I've actually grown, and I've went from one position to the next, you know. And it's a growing process, yes, but don't say that and not say that you didn't even get into the starting block. Because a person can believe in Jesus Christ and still be at the starting line and never move past the starting line. But they go to church. And they actually, you know, we go to church, we go to Bible study, and we hear the word, we get excited, but we still don't go out to practice it. And there's a separation sometimes in our life. A lot of times people separate the spiritual life and the natural life and thinking that the two don't actually work together. So they say, okay, well, yeah, you know, that's when I go to church, or I only act this way, or I only do these things when I'm at outreach, or when I'm at, you know, when I'm at Bible study, or when I'm in the presence of the people of God, I act this way, sort of like Peter. But the thing is that, is Jesus Christ your life, or is he just a part of your life? You know, so we have to really dig deep to examine ourselves. And it's a thing where we have to daily do it, because that communion with God and that communication with God, it builds a relationship. But you got to start somewhere. You can't just say, okay, I want the benefit of salvation, but I don't want to spend no time with you, and I don't want to give up nothing. I just want you to save me from hell. God is like, well, wait a minute, you know, don't let the enemy creep in now because you say that, you know, a sinner's prayer, or you feel like that you've done anything. And a lot of people put it out there that, you know, Jesus Christ is love. Yes. But it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ wants you to stay in the same condition you are. He wants you to change. But you have to have a heart to want to change. And the more that you spend time with Jesus Christ, and the more you begin to build your relationship and your knowledge of him, you won't want to do the things that you used to do. Amen. What do you say about that, D?
Amen. You know, you are correct, bro. You hit the points that I wanted to stir up in the brothers' thinking and in their minds on who they are in Christ. We have a title. We are called men of God. Men of God. Fire baptized, Bible believing. You know, whatever, but are we living these things out every day? And that's the thing where it talks about the relationship with Christ. It's an everyday thing. It's what we are. It's who we are. Every activity that God commands and intended for us, even with going to church and prayer and reading of the Word and the study of the Word, is to enhance our relationship with him. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to it. We talk about growth, and we talk about, I mean, it's talked about, but again, we don't want to be in the place where, you know, because we've talked about this before, we're just checking the box. I went to church on Sunday, you know, and I went to, but did you have a passion to be in the presence of the saints? And I think that's the difference. And that's where the relationship, the love of God and the love of God's people, like you said, love is part of it. Because you love God, the Bible calls us to love one another, to love the people of God, those who confess to be a Christian, to be of in Jesus Christ, to be in this walk, in this life, trying to grow in this walk every day. You know, Paul wrote about, you know, he talked about, you know, that we should be growing from milk to meat. And when we read that scripture, and then we need to hope that should be our benchmark. Where am I in my walk, in my relationship with Christ? Or am I stuck in ritual that I just go, I just show up? And even when you talk about ministry, people do ministry just to say they've done something or they're doing something, not that they're doing it because they love God. They could be doing it for a lot. They could be doing it to make themselves feel better. They could be doing it to impress other people. But all that we are and what we do is because of our love for Jesus Christ. And I think that could be the determining the plumb line when we look at ourselves and realize what we're doing. And I like you. You know, I love your example. A married couple. I don't do stuff I do for my wife because I love her, and I'm being the husband I'm called to be because I love her. As husbands, I mean fathers, we do not because of what our kids can do for us, but because we love our children, and we want the best for them. We want to, and we sacrifice. Like you said, love is a sacrifice. Because brothers, I'll say this to any man out there, to his face or whatever. If you don't think you need to sacrifice for your family, for your wife and your children, you don't really love them. If you still, because let me say this, because you know and I know, the immaturity is what is the problem in a lot of marriages, because everybody, once they own, they're not willing to sacrifice. They're in competition for everything, and that brings in confusion. but we're not willing to love, sacrificially love, like God says we are. And then that goes from, if it's not happening at home, we know it's not going to happen in the church, because we're coming to the church as consumers. Let me say this, because Paul says from milk to meat, at some point you move from being a consumer to a producer and a participant. You know, I'm looking at Paul. I mean, we talked about this. Well, I talked about this in the men's group. We talked about Paul mentioned over 50 people he called co-laborers, fellow laborers. But these were people that he went, because you remember, he went on 3 missionary journeys, and he planted these churches and spread the gospel. And then of those people that he spread the gospel to, called them fellow laborers, co-workers. Mm-hmm. So that tells us that there's an expectation of growth to come alongside to start to do the things that God has called us to do. And in this culture, we have to, especially for us brothers, we have to get away from trying to have titles. Can we be faithful where God has put us and be faithful to do the call, what God has called? And that's where it is. And again, because if we're doing it for the glory of God and because we love Christ and we love what he's done, and we know this, that God can use us to reach others with that same love. And that's where we have to, I don't know, we have to shift our minds, shift the thinking of who we, of what the church is and what it means to be a man of God, to even be a Christian. But we have to start by examining ourselves. So we get from from relationship with Christ, and how do we grow in that? That's through the word, through the prayer, through the study of the word, through the fellowship of the saints. Because we have to understand that, you know, the world's looking, because right now, the unbelieving world, the skeptics, or those brothers, people on the fence, they're looking at the church. Us, we're looking at us, and they're also looking at the church, you know, the media, or whatever goes on in the church. You know, that travels like wildfire. But, you know, the good stuff, you know, you got to, you know. But, you know, we have to be mindful of that, even in who we are and how we're living in our communities and every day. You know, and I just want to encourage the brothers that we have to think about, have we slipped into ritual, or are we growing in our relationship? And I think that's the big thing. But I just wanted to define what that means when we talk about the religious activities. Because religious activities without the real fellowship of Christ is empty. It doesn't really mean nothing. I believe we talked about it in, I just lost it. But I think it was in Jeremiah, you know. They forgot. They forgot who God was. They did a whole lot of sacrificial in the Old Testament. They were doing a whole lot of sacrifices, killing a whole lot of animals, and didn't even realize God has left the building. You know what I mean? God's not even there, but they got caught up in doing all those things. They knew what God said for them to do. There's a reason for the sacrificial system and all the things that God has given Israel to do. But at some point, if I believe in Jeremiah, they forgot that they were so caught up in doing it that they didn't even realize that God had left their presence. He wasn't in the temple anymore. His glory has gone away. And then I bring it to the New Testament, Jesus had to go in there and clean the place out. Because everything else was being done. And some of our churches, we're the church, so some of our churches, there's a lot of stuff being done, and this is not what God called his house to be his church to be. And if we are the church, that means we got to be mindful that we're not doing a whole lot of money changing and other things and calling it a worship of him. And that's not what he put us here for. It starts with the individual, starts with the individual brother, starts with me and you and the brother next to you and his house. And that's where it starts, that we have to check ourselves and not follow along with just to get into the habit where it becomes just a ritual habit. I did it. I'm good. I can move on. And I'll come back to you, but I also like what you said. If you only talk to your wife once a week and maybe catch her in the middle of the week, I don't know how your marriage is going to work out. So I want to bring that back to the to the brothers and thinking about, you figure you only spend time with God on Sunday and maybe Bible study. Try that with your wife. Give your wife 2.5 hours on Sunday and give her an hour of maybe Tuesday or Wednesday and see how your marriage go. See how any relationship will go. You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you say, sir? I'm coming back to you now.
You know, that's good. That's good. That's good. It's a lot of points there. And, you know, what it is that, you know, that's the intimate part of God, like, you know, that we want to get to. You know, and it's going to take us to sacrifice other things that we may want to do to make time for the one we love. You know, it's just, you know, it's just so plain. You know, God actually chastised myself in that area. And he's like, you know, well, what if the only time your wife came to you is when she wanted something, or that's whenever she talked to you, something was wrong. You know, it's like, well, we know what's going on in the world is wrong. There's a lot going on. Even when the word says that the righteous is oppressed on all sides in Psalms 34. So he knows everything that's going on. But that's not what me and my wife talk about. We talk about other things. We talk about, you know, I encourage her. I tell her that I love her. And, you know, it's not about, hey, I want this and I want that. And, you know, even vice versa, when she talks to me, it's not about a wanting session. It's not, hey, I want $1,000. You know, I want these new shoes that just came out. Hey, you know, I want you to talk to your son. I want you to talk to your daughter. I want you to do this. Oh, by the way, I want you to fix this outside. Oh, by the way, I want you to do this. And so it becomes a thing where, am I your husband or am I your laborman? You know, so it's like you'll get the labor because you love. You know, it's pulling teeth sometimes to get people to get up, to get past the superficial or the surface thing about the things of God. Sometimes you got to really pump them up to do outreach, or pump them up to do evangelism, or pump them up to just show yourself friendly, or pump them up to stay a little bit late at the church to clean up and to help. You got to pull them to do it, because it's not really, you know, in their heart to really labor for the things of God. It's like, but if you ask them to do something that they was going to get some free tickets somewhere or something like that, they'd be all for it. Well, that's where your heart is. Where your heart is where your treasure is. So we have to be mindful. We have to be careful the things that we serve in on a consistent basis, because that becomes our God. And then God is like, you know, I've required you, just like he was saying with the sacrifice. You know, they're making all these different sacrifices. And when you said that, God was nowhere to be found. But when you said that, it really pointed me into Matthew chapter 7, you know, verses 21 through 23, where he says, you know, not everyone, you know, that calls him Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, and, you know, they'll say, hey, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So the mindset behind of how the church got to where it got to, and it wasn't actually just during our time, because we see a lot of people with the prosperity gospel with, hey, this will happen, this will happen. You come to God and this will happen, right? You know, as if God is a magician. And just because you do a righteous act, God is going to bless you with $1 million. You know, now that you gave tithes, God is going to bless you tremendously if you keep doing that, you know, and not be disobedient to giving all this money to me. You know, God is going to have to bless you with something. And so, you know, what we have to do is we have to be mindful of those people, because they use the word to get members but not disciples. And it's more so when you get there, when you get into a fellowship or anything like that, the thing is, where are we going in it? And what is the pastor's vision? If you don't know the pastor's vision, you don't know where we are and where we're going. You know, it's funny because even when, you know, my children, they get in the car. My kids, they get in the car. The first thing they ask, Daddy, where are we going? Daddy, where are we going? You know, and it's a harmless question. But the thing is that, where are we going in this? You know, where are we going? Where are we heading to? What's the destination? When we get a member, when somebody becomes a newborn baby in Christ, are we mentoring that person? Are we encouraging that person? Are we loving on that person? It's going to take more than one person to do that labor.
So what, even when Paul named those people, and he named those labormen, he named those laborers. However, how big was the congregation? So that's what we have to think of. The congregations were large, but the laborers were few. You know?
Amen.
And you know, it's that's how it's been. You know, that's how it's basically mostly been. Even if you think, if you take the multitude that Jesus Christ fed with the fish and the loaves, and he fed, you know, a multitude of people, the disciples were the laborers, the 12 of them. You're talking
That's
thousands
right.
of people. You mean to tell me it wasn't not one person in the midst to get up out of their seat to help with the baskets? But everybody was waiting to be served. I mean, if you think about it, right? How is it that
right,
people
right.
of God,
oh my.
Who said,
yes, sir, yes,
who
sir.
Said that they love God, sit back and watch a small number of people struggle with carrying the load of the gospel and not actually live the helping hand, even to give your testimony? Oh, man. Like, you know, it's not a thing, but that's what we need to get to. We need to examine ourselves in that. Are we fine with just letting one pastor, one deacon, one elder, or whatever your title is, to do all this work and ministry by yourself? To use only my finances or your finances to do the will of God, but I'll participate by just showing up? So it takes more than just the surface. It takes more of self-examination. If you know where you're going, and if you know the direction that we're going, then you have an idea of what the labor would consist of. And if it lines up with the word of God and it lines up with what God's will is, then we get behind it and we encourage it and support it. But if it doesn't, like, a lot of people want to do a lot of things. Like, people will make ministries up for themselves. They'll say, yeah, I'm a prophetess or something.
Oh, my.
Now,
here we go.
You know how we are, man. You know, this is the radio station.
Yes,
now,
sir.
So
no, no, no. I got you, bro. I got you. I'm with you. Don't worry. I'll never leave you.
But the thing is this. If we don't even examine ourselves, and you know, one of the things that I'm studying now, right now, and I actually fell back on this study, is, you know, the difference between being called to a ministry as far as, you know, a title, a bishop, pastor, preacher, deacon, whatever it is, elder in the ministry, versus a spiritual gift. You know, because here's the thing. We may not know what a person's spiritual gift is, maybe because of who they are, you know? And the opportunity may not be there for them to share that. And I think we live in a society where if you really read that scripture and you read the scriptures about spiritual gifts, right? Because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of all of us, right? It doesn't mean that the person with the spiritual gift is only a male. That's not what the word says. It says many gifts. It doesn't say that only a male has to operate in that gift outside of the congregation of the church. But see, with proper teaching, you know where you fit in far as the kingdom. You may have a spiritual gift for the people, but the ministry, as far as in the church, in the building called church, okay, we don't have to have a title to do what it is that God tells us to do, just like you were saying.
But that bro, you're hitting it, because that's when we talk with Sean, man. When we talk, right, well, you know, the gift that's in Scripture, those gifts, because it's something I learned when I was a young Christian. You know, there's gifts within the congregation, like I would call it the congregation. When the saints gather together, there's gifts for that, and then there's gifts to go out into and reach the culture and the unbeliever.
Amen.
There's different gifts,
that's
and
right.
But you have to know. And like you were saying before, we turn gifts into titles. because we
really
don't understand because the gifts that are written in Scripture, we have to understand we westernize and Americanize those words and make them into something that they are. That's not what they were written. That's not what Paul meant when he wrote them.
Right.
But we have to take time to study and understand that what that means and when it was used, because it can be used outside of the congregation and inside the congregation.
Right.
But that's where discernment and the wisdom is, and that's where the structure of the congregation coming together is, because there's a lot of things in Scripture Paul wrote about. If you study it, even amongst the believers, he laid down some foundational rules, some things that shouldn't be happening in the congregation, and some
That's
of it
right.
talked about those gifts should not be happening. But then there's the other times that when you, again, like you said, you deep dive into Scripture, these gifts were for manifestations for the unbeliever to see. And then, you know what I mean? That's a study, brother.
Amen.
That's a study. I got you.
That's a study.
But, yeah, but again, as us as the body of Christ and as men of God, we have to be in a place, again, this is more of a relationship with Christ, because this is what we have to be able to go into the Word and see
that's
what the
right.
Word, that we can be the men of God that we should be. We leading in the home, leading in the community, and leading in the church. But, again, when it comes to relationships, we're going to take it back to marriage. We're going to take it back to some other relationships. Some folk are not willing to do the work necessary to build real relationships with God and with people. And it bleeds over. You know what I mean? They're not willing to put the work in. Because you have people, you know, that you walk around all the time. And because you know folk like this. Well, I don't get along with them. I don't get along with that. I don't get along with them kind of thing. But you're not willing to put the work in. And then when you come to God or come to the church or come to Christ, you're not willing to put the same work in, because you
that's right.
if it ain't pleasing to you, you got a problem.
Yeah,
but that's not what Christianity is. You're not willing to put the work in to know Christ, to have a renewed mind, to be submitted unto his word. The Bible said, Christ Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is, when he said that, what things are he calling us to do as a New Testament church? Don't go back to Israel. Let's stay in the New Testament, the things that he's telling us, how we should live, where we should be, what we should be doing, how our minds are going to be renewed with the things of God, but we're not willing to put in the work to build true relationship with Christ. And sometimes this is why we have poor relationships with people, because we don't want to put do the work, because it takes work to build a relationship. If we be honest with us, we're honest with ourselves, it takes work. And in the spiritual realm, it takes work, because, again, we're all going to stand before Christ. You're not going there with your pastor and your bishop, your elder, and nobody else. You're going to stand before Christ, and he's going to examine your life. You said you were, because again, you said you were a Christian, a man of God, and then you're going to stand before Christ. He's going to judge your whole life, not just your church life and your Bible study life, and maybe you do an outreach 2 times a year or whatever. You see what I'm saying? He's going to judge you for being a Christian husband. He's going to judge you to be a Christian father. He's going to judge you to be a brother in Christ. Who did you encourage? Who did you disciple?
Yeah.
Who did you mentor? And that's just that, you know, that even goes with who did you evangelize to? I mean, really evangelize to. Because, again, there's a lot that God has for us to do. And are we taking the time, again, to build that relationship that God for God? Because we can hear from God. You know, and that's the thing. Every man, we hear from God, and then we get connected with folk. We can get connected. That's what congregations, the body of Christ, is for, to connect with like-minded folk. To now, together, we can do more together, and we go on a path like you were talking about earlier. You know, do y'all know the vision and mission of your pastor and the ministry you in? Or you just go there because you go there. Because the pastor can't do it. God can give him the vision, but he can't do it alone. I mean, he put Moses in charge of 2 million people and took them out of there, but the folk had to fight those battles to get to chase the Hittites, the Jebusites, all them ites are gone. because some brothers had to pick up a sword. And then if you read the scripture, you know, they had to conquer some things, overcome some things. And then even Moses had to have two brothers hold his hands up because God said as long as his staff is up, Israel will prosper. But I'm saying, you wouldn't even know what I'm talking about if you haven't read the word and understand what God is calling the church to be. Okay. But I'm just saying. That's why we have to examine ourselves. And are we in relationship with Christ? Because all of this thing will come to light. The scales will be dropped in your eyes, and you will be able to see the spiritual things what God wants from his church. And it begins with, are we in fellowship with one and another? You know, we look at the disciples. Mm-hmm. Them brothers hung together for 3 years. They hung out together. They ate together. They talked. They walked. They knew each other's families. I mean, they built, those 12 guys built a relationship.
Yeah.
They were still, you know, they built a relationship with themselves and with Christ. And that's the thing I want to, you know, we need to see more in the church. Are we really building relationships with each other and with Christ? And now we are going to be called to do a thing. Because the example's there in the disciples, in the time they spent together. Even though he had some shaky ones, you know, he had the betrayer. He had Peter. He had he had some other brothers who doubted, wasn't sure, you know. And then when they locked Jesus up, they all scrambled. You know what I mean? So don't think nothing you're gonna go through is any different than them. But once they got the Holy Ghost, once they had the Holy Spirit imparted and dwelt in them,
amen.
They came back into one accord, and that's what we should be. As believers, when we are with the Holy Spirit within us, we have something that connects us, that our common denominator, I'm going to go old school arithmetic for some folk, our common thing is Christ and growing in the knowledge of him together and understanding and now being obedient and then doing and being the church and doing those things and going through circumstances and situations in life, because that's what it is when we talk about relationship. If we're in relationship with our brothers, we're in relationship with other couples, we're in relationship, you know what I mean? That's what the church is.
Yep.
But when you get to rituals, you have a building that fills up for 2 hours, and everybody, after that, everybody's in their car, in their home, and the building is empty within 15 minutes of the benediction. I'm just saying, start timing it and watch what happens. we got COVID now, so there's a reprieve because we have COVID and there's some rules we try to keep the thing down. But everybody know what I'm talking about, you know, because that's what it is. But again, and are we truly in relationship with those that we say we are in congregation? And then even with that. I don't know, bro. I don't want to say that, you know, if you don't get along with me, you may not love God, but I'm just saying.
Well, you know what the word
says. At some point, you got to be connected with other saints. How about that?
Amen. And, you know, it's good you say that because you think about it, right? The word says, how can two walk together except they agree? And the thing is that the key root word of relationships is relate, which is where a lot of people can't relate to a lot of things because they're not in the same mindset and the same heart to do the same things. So, for instance, you may have very little people who relate to you because they can't relate to the relationship, or they can't yield to the relationship of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. So it doesn't mean that they may not be in the growing process. And whenever we say something, or whenever we say something that is, you know, according to the word, a person, the first defense is to get offended. And the reason is a lot of times is because they can't relate. If you say something that goes according to the word of God, even God uses us to try to encourage and minister to another person to pull them into accountability and to examine themselves. they may actually be angry with you because they can't relate to you. And, you know, again, it's the same thing as in Matthew's. I keep going to Matthew's, but the same thing is even when Jesus was saying, okay, you know, whosoever hears these sayings and don't do them is a foolish man who built his house upon sand. You know,
amen.
So here's the thing. He said, if you do them, he's like a man that built his house on a rock. Okay, he's a wise man. If he hears my sayings and do them, okay? But if you hear these things and you don't do them, it's because you're not in the right relationship with him. So you can't do them. And it's not. It sometimes, even when, you know, you hear the word of God and God is trying to, you know, elevate us in faith as far as to continually depend on him and encourage other people to do the same thing, no matter what we be going through. Because, you know, the reason why a lot of relationships fail anyway is because of conflict. It's conflict. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people's relationships fail because of conflict. You have a conflict where when you came to know Jesus Christ, it was fun. It was good. You know,
right,
you couldn't
right.
wait to tell a lot of people, you know, but soon as trial comes, and I've used this example even in Paul in Romans. In Romans chapter 6, Paul was talking about sin, being a slave to sin, you know, sin not having dominion over you, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
Then something happened in chapter 7. He started struggling with the thing he was talking about in chapter 6. So there was a stage here. It was a level.
That's
here.
Right.
Paul went from excited to, oh, man, I can't wait to run out here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then next thing you know, he's struggling with the thing he's talking about. And there's a conflict there because he thought that he should be past this. He said, oh, wretched man am I, you know. And see, this is the thing. We see the progression in Paul. If he had not went through that broken period, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been able to carry him into his ministry that God had for him. And see, a lot of times when we get in that conflict, it's a thing where we like, Lord, I know you said you never leave me or forsake me, but look at what I'm going through right now. And it takes that one moment for us to actually focus on the problem instead of continually to focus on Jesus Christ because of our relationship, you see? And we use Jesus Christ as the example, even when he was on the cross. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, but see, the thing is, it wasn't his will be, it was God's will be done for him. And, you know, the thing is are we at that point where no matter what we go through, we still are going to try and press to maintain this relationship with Jesus Christ no matter what it is that we go through. Because as soon as we go through, we're in the blaming session at that point. We start conflicting with God.
Yes.
A lot of times, I mean, I'm telling you, a lot of times what it is that even like it could be the smallest thing. And see, the word, the more that we actually know Jesus Christ in the word and we actually commune with him, we understand what's going on in our lives is because of who we connected to. You know, that's what he said. He said that. You're going through because of me. Okay?
That's right.
And so if we don't commune with God and we don't understand that the things that we're going through is because of our relationship with him and we can continue to rejoice, the first thing we do if we don't understand that is to battle and actually be upset with what's going on and neglect communing with God, speaking with God sometimes, because right now I got to deal with this problem. Right now I got to deal with this problem. Right now I got to deal with this. And so that actually causes conflict. And God is saying, well, you know, when something happened in your life, you don't stop talking to your wife, do you? I mean, if you do, if y'all have an argument, that don't mean you leaving. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it mean that y'all gonna work it out.
Yes.
Y'all gonna work it out. You know, you're not gonna
yeah,
get your point.
See. Amen.
It's a
well, that's what relationship is, you know, because that's where, you know, we have to understand it, that when we talk about relationship, we talk about something that's good. This is something that's going to be sincere. It's going to be deep.
Yeah.
You're going to build trust in God. The more you know God, the more your relationship with God is how are you going to build the confidence and the trust and know that when things happen, you know, you're going to understand, like you said, this all, again, it goes back to us in being in the Word of God and understand what Scripture says. And sometimes not what we are told what it means to be a Christian and when we come to Christ. We come to Christ because we're promised a lot of things. And that's where ritual can dilute the gospel. And
yeah.
that's and people set folk up into some ritual, like you talked about, that prosperity gospel. That's all ritual stuff. Planting seeds and sowing seeds and multiply a hundredfold. That's not what the Scripture's talking about. But they use that
yeah.
ritual to manipulate money and manipulate finances and manipulate people into their giving. But that's why, and that's a ritual. And that's what the false prophets use to make people think they are spiritually or super religious and super spiritual because of that. And the whole thing about the more you have here materially on earth means you're more blessed. That all... Well, we all know it's false teaching, but that's what ritual. That's the best thing I can give to anyone who's listening. What the difference between relationship and ritual is? It's better than so when you ain't got when your money's not coming no more. When you don't have enough because you don't know what contentment means because you think the more you give, the more you're going to get. So you never really have no level of contentment because you think God's going to continue to increase you and then bless you. And you ain't educated yourself in the last 10 years to do nothing more. I'm just saying. but you think because you give more and you get into the ritual activities of perpetrating that same thing over, you think God is going to bless because you built your house on sand. You built your house on material gain. You built your house on material and temporal things and not on the spiritual things which God, which Jesus Christ teaches, what the Word teaches, and what Paul wrote all the letters to those churches to get them back in line because they all drifted. That's the other thing, brothers, I want to share with you even as we're going through. We have to look at the New Testament and Paul's letters, or all of the New Testament, in different light. These things were written to the believers, to the saints, to correct them because they was drifting. And if we see it like that and just stop reading the good parts and read those letters and understand what Paul was doing when he wrote to the Romans, the Romans is full of doctrine and teaching. The Romans is deep. If you ever you get into a study of Romans, the letters he wrote, the epistles from prison. He was reaching out to churches because he heard some bad stuff about the people that he brought to Christ and brought to faith, and they were having issues. And he's writing letters to them to straighten them out. He was encouraging them, but he also was trying to straighten them out. So, I mean, brothers, this is why to be able to examine ourselves and see where we are, that we're not caught up in the rituals of doing things. Again, we go into church, we go into Bible study, we take communion every month. You know, we doing things, but do we know why we're doing it? When was the last time you had a discussion with your family about why communion? What are we even doing when we take communion? You know, depending on, I'll say this, me and you, we know Pastor Charles, but a lot of folk, you can walk in some church, you can walk in, they just give out the communion because it's the first Sunday. They don't care who's there. I'm going to leave that right there because some brothers need to pick up their Bible and study. But, you know, but because there's no teaching on it. There's no teaching of communion. And baptism. And these things, this is where the Word is and this is where the teaching is. But, again, are we willing to do the necessary work to build a relationship so we know who we are in Christ and what it means to be a Christian? You know, because I shared this on the previous episode that I talked about the sinner's prayer. And if you do a deep dive into the sinner's prayer and what it really was and what it turned into, You know, it's been, I just learned that recently. That was like in the last 2 years that, you know, the whole, well, I'm not going to go into it right now, but again, it's are we growing in Christ? Are we moving from milk to meat? And one thing I want to, I'm going to come back to you, bro. You can close us out. You don't have the last word, but as men of God, as husbands and fathers, our pastors, our teachers, all those who stand before us, they're giving us the seed. We have to take that word and nurture it and take it home, dissect it, teach it to our families. We have to go deep dive in so we can understand what they were saying, you know, because, you know, we know our pastor says, you know, don't believe him. Go home and study for yourself. Brothers, 2022, we got to learn to go home and study for ourselves. And then from there, we teach our families, we disciple our families, because wherever you are, look in the mirror, examine where you are, and where you think God wants to take you. Again, you know, we do all this stuff we want to do in the new year. Look back first, and then set your course moving forward. That's what we want to encourage you tonight with when we're talking about relationship and ritual. Are the things you're doing just ritual, or are you doing it because you love God, you know why you're doing it, you know what God has commanded you to be as a believer in Jesus Christ, and what he called you and commanded you to be as a husband and a father? Amen? So, brothers, I encourage you, you know, this Deacon Thomas Farr, we didn't do we've been rolling, so I didn't even get plugs in, but this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we hear these episodes, if it was text to you or you got the link on the Facebook page or email or however, I encourage you to, share it with someone. I pray that something was said tonight that would encourage you to move forward and move to where God has called you to be. That's all we are here. We are servants. I don't put myself on a pedestal to have it all together and have everything going, because every day, every morning I wake up, I figure out, you know, how am I going to not – what am I going to do to glorify him? And I pray that I don't fail him. So it's an everyday thing, and this is our prayer, to be able to glorify him today and do what he's called me to do. So, brothers, that's when, again, I do these shows, these episodes to encourage you, to strengthen you, and hopefully to stir up something in you to just think about who you are in Christ and what God has called you to, because every man has a purpose. God has created us all for a purpose, and we never know the choices that we make, the things that we do, how we live our lives is going to affect someone else. It's going to send ripples through time because someone is watching, someone is waiting to hear from you, because there's a soul out there that's only going to hear the gospel from you. So we have to be prepared to share the true gospel, the love of God, and hope. And that's the last thing I want to say. We have to remember, there are a lot of hopeless men out there. And if us as men of God can't take that hope to the hopeless, have we really done what Christ has done? Because he gave us hope. He's bring us from a lot of different places to where we are today. So are we willing to do the things that God calls us to do to bring hope to someone else's life, that they might know him? Amen. Brother, you got the closing comments, and you can close out in prayer. And I appreciate you, bro, for being part of the program. And hopefully we get some more in this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Amen. And we're going to end. And brothers, we're going to touch anything. And again, if you got this text and you got something you want to talk about, you want us to talk about, send it to us. We can do our deep dive research. We can talk about it, and I'll even invite. I always invite brothers. You can always come in and join the discussions. Just send me a text, and I'll let you know when we do the recordings. And then my last thing is Saturday mornings. So far, I've been good for the holidays. All the holidays fell on Saturday when I said this, but now all that stuff's over. So Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. we are going live. Prayerfully, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. we're going to be live, and you can join us. You can call in then and be part of it. Amen. Brother, you've got the last word. You can close us out.
Well, like always, bro, I thank God for you. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for, Issue Christian Men's Talk that gears towards us as men of God,
because it's been a blessing to me, blessing to other people that I have talked to. And, bro, we definitely will take a deep dive into a lot of things this year. This is a new year. God is really preparing our hearts to purge the things within us and to help others to examine themselves to do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So with that said, we'll close out in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your keeping power, your health, our health and strength, Lord God, our healing, Father. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer, Lord God. Father, for whoever's out there that's listening, Father, whether it be a father, a husband, a brother, a cousin, whatever title they may hold, Father. Father, we ask you, Father, right now, and to answer any prayer, Father, that they may have on their hearts, whatever it may be, Father, whatever they may be struggling with, Father. Father, you know all things. And we just, Father, ask you that it being in your will, Lord God, that you will help them and meet the needs that they have right now, Lord God. Father, we have faith to know that you can do it, Lord God. So we ask you, Father, with humble hearts to meet the needs of your people. We thank you, Father. Bless all the marriages. Bless the men that are fighting, Father, and not giving up, Lord God, and not giving up on you. Let us keep our focus on you, Father, and not the things around us. Help us to build the relationship, Father, and not the ritual. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Have a wonderful night.
Amen. Love you.